Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Now, before we get to the doc today, I want to thank everyone who joined us for our live last night. We had Jim Terry on, and whether you love him or hate him, you know it's probably going to be entertaining. And thank you for all of our Patreons for joining us for our Patreon show immediately following our regular live. Now, remember, last night we did it on Wednesday. It's usually on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, so please join us next Tuesday night. All right, what is on the dock today? Well, Dylan Round's family says, we don't need the public's help. The Highland Park shooter's father says, don't blame me. Brittany Griner pleads guilty in a Russian courtroom. A Manhattan bodega worker knifes a gangster to death after the guy jumped across the counter and attacked him over the cost of a bag of chips. A Hollywood producer is charged with murdering a model and her friend. A family argument gone wild, and then a dumb criminal engages in some felony math. Let's talk about it. As always, please support the sponsors that support Crime Talk.
Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked.
All right, let's go ahead and open the record for July 7th, 2022, and let's get to the docket. Well, law enforcement and the family of Dylan Rounds are asking the public to avoid searching for the missing man around his farm near the Utah-Nevada border. Now, as you may recall, Rounds vanished over a month ago while farming in rural town of Lucen, Utah, which is about 15 miles from the state border with Nevada. The 19-year-old who attended Rigby High School before moving last spoke with his grandmother on May 28th. Since then, nobody has heard from him, and other than a pair of boots of Rounds that was found on his property, there's been no sign of him anywhere. Well, the Box Elder County, Utah Sheriff's Office is leading the investigation into Mr. Rounds' disappearance, and the FBI and the Elko County, Nevada Sheriff's Office are assisting. Currently, there are no organized searches planned for public members to participate in that area, supported or authorized by law enforcement. So we are asking the public not to search the area as it has the potential to compromise the investigation. Now, as the family, we are not requesting any additional public searches for Dylan Rounds at this time. We request that everyone allow law enforcement to continue their organized investigation without any hindrance or interference to avoid jeopardizing the investigation. We thank everyone for their continued support in finding Dylan Rounds. That's per the statement. Now, Rounds' family originally offered $20,000 for information leading to his return and increased it to $100,000 last month for information that would help solve the case. $100,000, that's a lot of reasons for someone to try and find some information about his whereabouts. Now, in other news, a suspect has basically been identified, a person of interest. So there was a motion for a detention hearing filed yesterday by federal prosecutors for a guy by the name of James Brenner. Now, this is the 58-year-old man who had contacts with Rounds and is a suspect in the investigation of what happened to him. Now, Mr. Brenner lived near the missing 19-year-old Dylan Rounds and is considered a suspect in his disappearance. That's according to the United States Attorney's Office in Salt Lake City. Now, Brenner was charged last week with a federal weapons offense. The FBI alleges that Mr. Brenner had possession of firearms despite him having a status of being a convicted felon. You mean a prohibited person would have a firearm? Well, in this case, Mr. Brenner is apparently had some muzzle loading items, and it gets a little weird with those because if they're truly antiques manufactured before 1898, they're not considered a firearm under federal firearms legislation. However, the black powder is a problem. So, needless to say, they are holding Mr. Brenner on those firearm charges. Now, the charging documents say that Brenner was squatting in a trailer on property near Rounds Farm, and according to court records, the FBI and Box Elder County Sheriffs have executed multiple search warrants at Brenner's trailer, hence the reason the charges for the firearms. And the prosecutors have asked a judge to keep Brenner in custody before trial. Now, the United States Attorney's Office called him a serious risk in their motion to detain Mr. Brenner, and they cited his prior criminal history, which includes charges for malicious wounding, malicious shooting, and repeated convictions for being a felon in possession of firearms. Usually, the firearms is enough to keep somebody in custody because it is a rebuttable presumption that Mr. Brenner, is a danger to the community and a flight risk. Kind of hard to overcome when you really have nowhere to go and no one to be with you. You're squatting in the desert. Well, Mr. Brenner has his next court appearance tomorrow. So obviously no charges related to the disappearance of Mr. Rounds have been filed against Mr. Brenner. And if the authorities had probable cause, they would charge him. Clearly the police are trying to sweat Mr. Brenner, and it doesn't sound like his first rodeo with the judicial system. He was a squatter on some land. He has nothing to go home to and nowhere to go. I think he'll just sit quietly in jail. We'll wait and see what happens on Friday. Don't blame me. That's what the father says of the 4th of July shooter. So the father of the accused 4th of July parade killer told reporters Wednesday that his son talked about a mass shooting in Denmark the night before allegedly launching his own massacre, and his dad has washed his hands of any guilt over how his son gained possession of these firearms. Well, the father, Robert Cremo Jr., has tapped Steven Greenberg, one of R. Kelly's lawyer, to battle claims that he helped his son get these firearms. He said that the night before Monday's shooting, he and his son, Robert Cremo III, discussed the 22-year-old Danish man who shot and killed three people at a mall outside Copenhagen on Sunday. The father says, he goes, "Yeah, that guy's an idiot." That's what he said. The dad recalls his son saying of the Denmark shooter. The father said his son added, "People like that commit mass shootings to amp up the people that want to ban all guns." The dad says, "I talked to him 13 hours before Monday's massacre. That's why I guess I'm in total shock," he says, stating he must have had a psychiatric break or something. Now, the father, a one-time local mayoral candidate who used to run a neighborhood sandwich shop, has faced a wave of criticism for sponsoring his son's gun license application, which allowed Cremo III to buy 4 guns, including his alleged weapon that he used for the massacre. Now, the dad sponsored the application 3 months after his son was labeled a clear and present danger by authorities for threatening to kill relatives in 2019. That incident led police to confiscate a sword and some daggers and basically 15 knives from Cremo III, the son, according to the dad. The father states he decided to sponsor his son's firearms ownership identification card, which allowed the young man to buy the rifle used in the attack because he thought Cremo III was going to use the weapon to go to the shooting range. He bought everything on his own and they're registered to him. The dad said it's his son's weapon. The incident, which led to briefly confiscating the sword and dagger and 15 knives from the shooter's home, was just a childish outburst, according to the dad, and the knives were just a collection, citing the fact that, well, when he was younger, he collected baseball cards. Now, while the father says he is supportive of his son and will continue attending all of his court hearings, he's absolutely furious over the tragedy. He says that he wants his son to get a very long sentence. Oh, and that he will. He says he wants his son to get life. "You know, you have consequences for your actions," he stated. "He made a choice. He didn't have to do that. I think there's some mental illness there. Obviously, I didn't see a lot of it, according to the father. And he insists that his son's crimes were not motivated by hate, and noted that a relative of one of his lifelong friends was injured in the shooting. So we'll see how that plays out. I can't imagine the family's going to be charged. When the kid gives all the right answers, what are you supposed to do? So it's a tragedy, no doubt. I don't think the parents should be charged. It's not like he said, hey, Dad, I'm going to go do my own little massacre here on the 4th of July. You want to help? No, he didn't do that. He kept it a secret. You wouldn't be charged. No one should be charged if they didn't know what was actually going to take place. Looking back, hindsight 2020 is not enough to charge somebody. All right. Remember, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including Audible, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search Crime Talk. All right. Brittany Griner, she pleads guilty to drug charges in a Russian courtroom, and now she faces up to 10 years in prison. So will the WNBA star get back to the court since she's now pled guilty to the drug charges and facing up to 10 years in a Russian prison? Well, at the hearing today, Griner, who's about 6'9", was led into the courtroom handcuffed and dressed in a red t-shirt and red pants. She was also seen clutching a water bottle as well as a printed photo of her wife, Sherelle Griner. She stated in court, quote, I'd like to plead guilty, Your Honor, but there was no intent. I didn't want to break the law. Now, Griner said, speaking English, which was obviously then translated into Russian for the court, according to a journalist that was allowed in the courtroom. She stated she'd like to give my testimony later. I need time to prepare, she added. Now, I'm not sure what that means for her testimony. Is that her statement in mitigation? I'm not really sure. I'm going to profess I'm not an expert when it comes to Russian procedure. But if you want to give your testimony, wouldn't you do that at a trial? Just saying. Anyway, Griner was arrested back in February, for those who aren't familiar, after she was allegedly caught carrying two vape cartridges containing cannabis oil at the Moscow airport. And she's been in custody ever since. Her next hearing is set for July 14th, presumably for sentencing. Now, Griner is considered by the United States to be wrongfully detained, and her guilty plea could be more of a legal strategy aimed at facilitating a prisoner swap that could result in Russian detainees returning to their home country. The plea of guilty is an admission of wrongdoing, which could be for some sort of diplomatic behind-the-scenes type of efforts. Now, who knows? We did discover that fewer than 1% of defendants in Russian criminal cases are acquitted. And unlike in the United States courts, acquittals can be overturned by appellate courts. Now, somewhat surprising, but that's kind of the percentage of acquittals when based on the number of guilty pleas that result in our system here in the United States. Because you have to remember, pleas of guilty resolve 90% of the criminal cases in the United States. And of that percentage that go to trial, less than 10% are actually acquitted. All right, here's a Crime Talk travel tip for you. When you go to a foreign land, be careful not to break the laws of the country in which you are visiting. Remember, you are a guest. Be a good guest. Don't break laws. Or you could find yourself in a prison where you don't speak the language, unfamiliar with the legal system, and, well, their rights may not be what you expect if you were here in the United States. So don't break the law. I can personally say, whenever I've traveled to a foreign country, I go to great lengths to make sure I am a law-abiding citizen. I want to be a good guest so I can return home. Remember that. All right. A Manhattan bodega, that's like a little store clerk worker, he knives a gangster to death after he jumped a counter and attacked him over the cost of a bag of chips. Yes, that's true. So a 51-year-old New York City worker is in jail for stabbing a would-be thief who climbed over the worktop in a fight over the price of the snacks at the store. Jose Alba, sitting behind a counter at the Hamilton Heights grocery store tending to customers on Friday evening. He pulled Alba up out of the chair, at which point Alba reached to the right toward shelves displaying an assortment of candy and pulled out a large knife. He plunged it into the man's neck, five times. Now, Alba has been charged with murdering the man, identified as 37-year-old Austin Simon, to the fury of his family and many locals who say that he was simply defending himself amid a dizzying spike in the crime in New York City. Well, critics are now furious that Alba, a mostly law-abiding family man and business owner, is being held at Rikers Island while other repeat offenders are routinely let loose on New York City's street. A GoFundMe account has been set up for Alba's legal defense, and this point is raised about $20,000 within 24 hours. The video shows a man then pushed Alba into a shelf and appears to confront him before yelling at another customer trying to purchase something. Now, according to the NYPD, the incident began at about 11 p.m. on Friday after a woman entered the store with her 10-year-old daughter to buy several items. But the woman's EBT card was declined. According to a criminal complaint, Alba reached over the counter to take snacks away from the girl. At that point, the woman became enraged and summoned Simon, her boyfriend. The lady threw everything from the counter and the machine too. According to Mr. Ahmad, the owner of the Blue Moon convenience store, who told police, referring to the card reader, she said, quote, "I'm going to get my man and he's going to get you." That's what he claimed. Simon then walked around the counter and confronted Alba, leading to the confrontation caught on surveillance footage. He grabbed Jose by the neck and tried to get him to apologize to the girl. That's what Ahmad said. He pushed Jose first. Jose was just defending himself. Jose said, "I don't want any problems." But allegedly, he wound up stabbing Simon at least five times. Now, according to police records, Alba told officers on the scene, "He wanted me to come apologize to the girl. I took the knife. We used to open boxes, and I stabbed him." Now, court documents also claim that Simon's girlfriend took a knife out of her purse and stabbed Alba in the arm, but she's not being charged. Alba was then reportedly brought to a local hospital for his wounds before being incarcerated. Now, the girlfriend is still out there enjoying her life, a store employee complains. Residents report that Simon is a known gang member and would often talk about being in a gang. Simon has also been incarcerated several times, most recently in 2020 on an assault charge and attempted assault, and he was then released from prison back in May of 2021. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when, well, the police aren't around. New York Police Department has had a slew of retirements. They simply are understaffed. Oh, and that's right, they defunded them. Remember that? And when people think there aren't going to be any protection from the government, guess what? They will take matters into their own hands, whether it's a knife or a gun. Next on the docket, a Hollywood producer is charged with murdering model Christy Giles and a friend. Now, the Hollywood producer is facing murder charges in connection with the drug overdose death of Miss Giles, a Los Angeles model. He has also been charged with sexual assault in a different case, according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney. Now, David Pierce is charged with the murder of the model and her friend, who both overdosed on drugs. Now, 2 hours later, the friend, Hilda Marcella Cabrales Arzola, an interior designer, was left at Kaiser West Los Angeles. She died on November 24th of 2021. In both instances, three men in face masks were seen leaving the bodies at the hospital and driving away in a vehicle without a license plate. Now, Christy Giles was abandoned on the sidewalk at Southern California Hospital in Culver City on November 13th, 2021, and died soon after. Now, tests later detected multiple drugs in both women, including cocaine, ketamine, fentanyl, MDMA, and gamma hydrobutyrate acid, GHB, known as the date rape drug. Now, the deaths were ruled homicides. In addition to charging Pierce, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office has charged Brant Osborne, a 42-year-old actor, with accessory to murder. Pierce remains behind bars because he has not been able to post the $3.4 million bond amount, and his preliminary hearing is scheduled for July 11th. Next, a family squabble gone wild and turned deadly. Guillermo Silva is a man behind bars tonight for allegedly brutally murdering two family members inside of his home, assaulting a third victim, then claiming to have no recollection of the events, according to authorities. Now, Silva was taken into custody last Friday and charged with two counts of domestic violence, second-degree murder, and one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to the arrest affidavit, deputies with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office arrived at approximately 8:40 p.m. on July 2nd, responded to the residents in West Palm Beach area in reference to an armed domestic dispute. Upon arriving at the scene, the suspect, later identified as Mr. Silva, was being held down by an adult male identified only as victim number 3. Deputies then detained Silva and performed a sweep of the residence where they made several grisly discoveries. Deputies first discovered an adult male identified in the affidavit as victim number 1 lying on his back in the living room. He had allegedly sustained severe blunt force trauma to the face, per the affidavit. And a deceased female, victim number 2, was located in the back bedroom, later determined to be Silva's, positioned on the bed, nude on her knees, with severe blunt force trauma on her torso, arms, and face, according to the affidavit. Additionally, a laceration was observed on the back of victim number 2, and the Palm Beach County Fire and Rescue arrived at the residence at approximately 8:50 p.m. and pronounced victims number 1 and 2 deceased, determined the manner of death to be homicide. In an interview with investigators, victim number 3 provided additional details as to what allegedly transpired. Victim number 3 told investigators that he arrived at the home at about 8:40 p.m. to bring the other two victims money to help with their bills. He said he pulled up in front of the home and attempted to call one of the victims, then honked his horn. Silva allegedly came out and told him the two were inside the residence and told him to enter through the side door. As victim number 3 entered the residence, Silva approached from behind, held a knife to victim number 3's neck, and threatened, "I'm going to effing kill you," according to the affidavit. Once victim number 3 felt the blade of the knife on his neck, he was able to overpower Silva and push the knife away. Victim number 3 allegedly disarmed Silva and held him down on the floor. That was when Silva allegedly confessed to the murders. The affidavit continues, as victim number 3 held Silva down, Silva made several spontaneous utterances, also known as admissions. "Please forgive me. They're not there. I killed them. They're dead." And also pleaded, "Kill me too," victim number 3 stated. The sheriff's office has not released the victim's name, noting that the family invoked the privacy rights under Florida's Marcy's Law, which protects the rights of the crime victims in the Sunshine State. However, the sheriff's office confirmed that Silva was related to both victims. The affidavit further stated that Silva stated he could not remember what started the altercation, but was attacked by victim number 3 and was detained by deputies shortly thereafter. Silva advised he believed he had a knife during the altercation because he was afraid victim number 3 was going to harm him, but could not advise why. Silva also confirmed victim number 3 did not have a knife when he entered the residence, and Silva stated he did not recall killing victims number 1 or 2, nor did he recall threatening to kill victim number 3 with a knife. However, Silva advised he did recall victim number 2 being naked in his bedroom at some point in the evening, but could not recall the circumstances. Silva was processed at the Palm Beach County Jail, where he remains incarcerated with no bond. I guess we'll have to see how that one's going to play out. All right, finally today, our dumb criminal that engages in a little bit of felony math. Let's explain. In a foiled bid to recoup a $45 debt from a former girlfriend, a Florida woman allegedly copied images from her ex's OnlyFans page and threatened to send the nude photos to the victim's mother and grandmother. That's according to the extortion complaint. Investigators say that Eliza Jean Limite, who's 24, was in a romantic relationship with the victim and in the early stages of dating when she threatened to disseminate her nude images if not paid the $45 she was owed. Limite, cops charge, went to the victim's OnlyFans page and screenshotted the nude images and saved them to her camera roll without authorization. Limite then texted one of the nude images to a third party and sent this proof of dissemination to the victim. In a subsequent text to the victim, Limite allegedly demanded the $45 you owe me or else, she'd send your nudes everywhere. And yes, I have them all. Maybe mom would want to see them, or grandma. Limity was arrested Sunday on felony extortion charges. She subsequently was released from the county jail after posting a $10,000 bond for the felony count. Now, Miss Limity states on some online profiles that she is a graduate from the University of Tampa with a criminology degree and works as a legal assistant in a Tampa law firm. She apparently also operates a business selling Zen candles, crystals, and art. But wow, what have we said here many, many times, ladies and gentlemen? Let it go. Let it go. Now, Miss Limite, for $45, which is probably the price of one candle or crystal that she sells, is facing a felony. She's had to bond out of jail, and she's going to have to get an attorney if she has the money. Since she didn't have the $45, I doubt she has the money for the attorney. That, ladies and gentlemen, is felony math. It's kind of like when somebody says 10 years in prison is too much, but life's okay. I'll show them, once again, felony math. All right, let's go ahead and close the docket. But before we do, I want to show you something that the creative minds and artists here at Crime Talk have been coming up with. Take a look at this. That's right. This shirt is now available. Just simply hit the button, go order one, and then you can have your Crime Talk new shirt. I really like the design. Really like it. Not going to lie. It's going to be my favorite. Going to wear it probably every day. Hopefully you will too. All right. Thank you for watching. We will see you all tomorrow here on Crime Talk.